Angels are singing. Stars are shining. Awe and wonder are all around. Christmas magic. I confess to you this evening that I'm a sucker for magical stories, particularly at Christmas. I'm a sucker for Harry Potter and the Chronicles of Narnia and Lord of the Rings and more recent fantasy series like Wheel of Time and the rise in popularity of magical realism in literature. I love wizards and witches and supernatural creatures. Chokes me up. And movies. Movies like the one that Hal and I watched the other night, The Boy Called Christmas, about the magical Nordic origins of jolly old Saint Nick. I love all these things. But that's not exactly what I'm thinking about when I say Christmas magic. I'm also a sucker for the magical ordinary things, like the warm, fuzzy magic feelings that we get when we see the twinkling Christmas lights in Old Town Fort Collins, or maybe even just on our own tree. When we smell Christmas breads and cookies baking, when our family is gathered around the table and all are behaving well. When we light the candles and sing Silent Night, as we will do in just a moment, when beloved memories of Christmases past come flooding back into our minds and hearts. I love all these magical, wondrous things. But still, that's not exactly what I'm thinking of when I say Christmas magic. What do I mean by magic? I definitely don't mean trickery or chicanery. I don't mean just fantasy stories and warm fuzzy feelings. When I speak of Christmas magic, I am seeking something deeper, trying to put my finger on it, grasping to articulate what I feel sometimes deep within, a connection with the holy. There is a 14th century definition that tells us that magic is the art of producing marvels using hidden natural forces. Hidden natural forces. I think of the hidden natural ways of the world, such as the magic of human birth, the birth of all of God's creatures here on earth. The magic of seeds sprouting in the dark, rich, even cold soil. The magic of photosynthesis. The magic of birds flocking in a murmuration. The magic of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly in a chrysalis. Yes, we know these marvels through science that explains to us the wondrous mechanics of the world. And scientists can tell us about the origin and the movement of the stars, and now we have phenomenal photos of stars from the Hubble and the Webb telescopes. And it's scientifically true that there are elements in the cells of the human body that are the elements of stardust, most likely made from the supernovas of stars. I love all these things, and they are marvels of hidden natural forces, magical. However, Spirit draws me deeper still in my quest for Christmas magic. As I ponder these things, I realize, with the help of some theologians and mystics, that perhaps Christmas magic, perhaps Christmas magic is grace. Grace, unmerited favor, love, and help, particularly coming from God. Grace to give thanks, to praise. Grace, not something physically tangible until we experience it in action. In Luke's story of all the events leading up to Jesus' birth and its joyous proclamation, there are marvels of grace, hidden natural forces of God. Consider first how divine love's unmerited favor came upon an unwed mother and brought forth the gift of the child, Emmanuel, God with us. How exactly? Pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Literally? Maybe? Or blessed by God's love in a state many young women have found themselves in, not necessarily through their own fault, pregnant and unwed? Does it really matter how it happened? Every child is a gift of the holy and holds the divine spark of God's love. And think with me of the grace of Joseph as he takes Mary as his wife and raises this child, Jesus, as his own. Is this not a marvel? And have we not seen this extension of grace in relationships in our own community? It's divine love. It's a hidden natural force that can be found within the heart of all human beings if we each pay attention. It's grace, it's magic, it's present and possible in each of us right now. And on the larger level of the story, did you hear the opening of Luke 2, as Christopher read it? A decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. All the world. All shall be registered so that all can be taxed, so that the empire can grow in the power and might that oppresses the poor and lifts up the rich. All must go to their hometowns, all. The sick, the lame, the pregnant woman on the verge of giving birth, to be registered. It's a forced march in a dystopian world of those who have conquered, those who must obey or else. There's no grace here. This is not quite the romantic story, the opening of a romantic story that we might hope for on Christmas, is it? The story of Jesus' birth begins with great hardship under a brutal regime. And yet, God's child slips in at an unknown address. No room at the inn, off the grid, an unregistered place, and is born in a stable, cradled in a manger among the animals of God's creation. God's grace slips right through that net of the emperor's control. A marvel. From hidden natural forces made manifest in the kindness of God's people and the nurture of God's creation. And then let's look at the shepherds. Think about the shepherds. More unregistered folks who have no address, who live in the hills caring for animals.
It's me. I got very excited about the shepherds there.
Caring for animals that produce wool and meat for the nurture of God's people, not for the forces of empire. The shepherds are the ones who receive the divine good news, which shall be to all people. All people. Grace for all people, not for control and subjugation of the world. God's love and grace are active and present in the world, the shepherds proclaim, and we shall know this grace and love in the face of a vulnerable newborn baby in an obscure stable, a barn, off the grid of public recognition, surrounded by humble human beings and humble creatures. These humble people, the shepherds, they hear the angels and they believe. They go and see. They trust what they see and they proclaim God's good news. The lowliest ones on the empire scale of worth are the worthiest to bring the world the greatest news. God is with us. Ever and always. Thus, down the ages, we will know God in the marvels of hidden natural forces, the birth of a baby, the baby who grows into a 12-year-old boy with tenacious and precocious questions in the temple, learning from and with the rabbis. The baby who grows into the young man, teaching and healing and telling stories, overturning the tables of greed in the name of God's unmerited grace and love for all people. This is the Christmas magic I have been searching for. How about God's grace comes in human form to bring good news to the poor and healing for the sick, liberation for the captive. This is the good news that God sets us free from the greed of the world, the power grabs of tyrants, the smallness of our own fearful hearts. As we embrace the magic of God's grace, marvels of justice and love made manifest in hidden natural forces, we are empowered to be, to embody God's grace in our hurting world. We are set on a magical quest to bring the realm of God into being here and now. It's Christmas Eve, my friends. Tonight, may we glimpse God's transforming Christmas magic through sparkling tree lights, through gingerbread smells, family and presents, and singing silent night lit only by candles. May we know that it is a deeper magic which carries us through every day of the year, as we follow the ways of God made known in the Christ child. The Christ child come to be with us in heart and mind, in soul and body. May we be the magic of Christmas in the world all year long. Angels are singing. Stars are shining. Awe and wonder are all around. Merry Christmas. And amen.